I'm home. This is home. And it's indeed a privilege to welcome so many of you to this home called IWS. The warm hospitality of Grace Church, its semi-rustic setting, and especially the familiar and the new faces of all those who are now part of this community. These are all factors that constitute a home away from home. Home should be a place to come to rest, to be yourself, and to put yourself together so that you can face tomorrow and the challenges of this day. A good home, I think, should also be a place to sort out things, to clean your mind, so to speak, and to hear anew the voice of God as we pilgrimage through life. I pray that IWS may be for you, all of you, a week of sorting things out, a week of listening to the voice of God, a week of restoration and renewal. Now, today we find ourselves in the season of Easter. The feast of Christ's ascension is behind us, the Pentecost festival before us. This coming Sunday, many churches all over the world will read the story about the mighty rushing wind of God descending upon the disciples. And I hope that you will pick up on that rushing sound from heaven. For if there's one thing very clear in my mind, it's this. Most of us here come to this place with a head full of noise. Noise. There's the noise of an anxious heart. You worry about a loved one, a family member, a friend who's sick or perhaps dying. There's the rolling thunder of that teenage son's rebellious behavior, always nagging you, always keeping you on your toes. There is the nagging uncertainty of your work environment and the threat of layoffs. There's the cacophony of voices that place you right in the middle of those seeming endless worship wars. So much noise all around us. The banker wants your money. The IRS, your paycheck. And yes, IWS wants your tuition fees. No doubt about that. Your kids want your undivided attention. Your spouse, your undivided loyalty. And you want a prestigious degree to advance your career and to make a difference in the kingdom of God. So many voices of wants and needs and desires and demands twirling around us and also within us. And in addition to all that noise, we live in a world where flood victims cry out for help, where earthquake victims call for support, and where the voice of pain is deafening. Tyrants squeeze their subjects, kill their opponents, and chase refugees from one camp to another. Religious fanatics kill their neighbors, and godless societies persecute the church, and the voice of the martyrs rise up before God and before us if we listen. There's so much noise in this season of Easter. So listen up. Listen. Be still. I hear a rattling voice. Here is the word of God. In the midst of life's weariness and ministry strife, be open to the Spirit of God. For the Spirit of God makes life to abound. Ezekiel the prophet, along with many Israelites, find themselves in exile, away from the promised land, the land of milk and honey. The Assyrian Empire, you see, has swallowed up the northern kingdom of Israel a long time ago, and now this Babylonian Empire has buried or led into exile the people of God from the southern kingdom of Judah. God's people in exile do not dare to hope for a possible return to their homeland. Jerusalem is in ruins, the temple is empty, the land of Israel has become a wasteland. The hopes and dreams of Israel, and yes, even the covenant promises of Israel's God, seem to be meaningless. Their exile into foreign lands is like burial. And the deafening sound of death and hopelessness twirls around in their heads. So much noise. But then, just when everything seems lost and hopeless, God shows up. He does. And God has a message for his people. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Oh, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. And then, by way of a vision, God enables Ezekiel and us today to see what this restoration and renewal of God's people looks like. The vision holds before us resurrection. And that resurrection of God's people foreshadows the near future as well as the far future. The near future concerns Israel's return to the promised land in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. The far future concerns the first and especially the final coming of Christ in glory at the end of time. In the midst of all the noise, we hear God holds before us resurrection and renewal. And he does so with a vision. God places Ezekiel in the middle of a valley. It turns out that the valley is a battlefield because the valley is full of bones. Bones, says Scripture, that were very dry. The killing fields of Cambodia come to mind, or the battlefields of Gettysburg on steroids, perhaps. A great many bones on the floor of the valley, says Scriptures. And no doubt there was the deafening silence in that valley, the silence of death. These bones represent God's people in exile. Then the vision opens up in a twofold drama. The first part calls for Ezekiel to prophesy to the bones. God spoke to Ezekiel saying, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Really, how silly it seems, doesn't it, to actually declare such prophecy to skulls and skeletons. How silly, isn't it? How on earth can a prophetic word bring life or resurrection and renewal to someone who is dead, let alone to a mass grave of corpses? Yeah, yet Ezekiel obeys. He prophesies. Ezekiel shows us today the way of obedience. Obedience to God's word, it turns out, leads to awesome things, to life itself. Obedience in response to God's word is a powerful thing. And that's why we hear Ezekiel say, "So I prophesied as I was commanded." Now listen, what's that noise? And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Scattered skulls and bones connect with clickling, rattling sounds. The deafening silence of death in that valley of bones now turns into sounds of resurrection and renewal. Sinews, muscles, blood vessels, and skin turn these bones into corpses. Now we see no longer skeletons. Now we see human beings. But there's no breath in them. In the first part of this drama, this unfolding drama, we see the hand of God at work, doing what he did at the beginning of time. God, the Creator, recreates and restores these skeletons that had turned to dust. But one more act by God is needed for these skeletons to become living human beings. They need the breath, the ruach, the wind of God. And so we note the second act of this drama. Listen. Then God said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live." So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. You see, the Spirit of God makes life to abound. And note that God raised up a vast army, a battle-ready army. These corpses came to life and, the scripture says, stood up on their feet. They're ready to deploy and enter into battle. You see, that's God's intent also with you and me here today on earth. You and I make up the church militant. We should not be surprised by the deafening, weary noises of battles in our churches, workplaces, homes, and neighborhoods. We call to be soldiers of the cross. We must make use of the armor of God. We are called to do battle. This is who we are, the people of God, a vast army. God's vision to Ezekiel and to us today illumines Christ's resurrection, ascension, and gift of the Holy Spirit. The entire season of Easter brings hope to a lost world. And that hope materializes into strength and encouragement to a weary group of people such as perhaps you and I today. So let me say it again. In the midst of life's weariness and battle strifes in ministry, be open to the Spirit of God, for the Spirit of God makes life to abound. As I ponder the scriptures tonight, I wish to lay before you three takeaways. They include a caution, an affirmation, and a reminder. The caution relates to formalism and spiritualism. For example, I imagine that some of us here tonight will easily gravitate toward ritual and form in worship. Yes, sir, worship must be by the book. That's how I was raised. Liturgy and litany, let it be ancient. Bells and whistles, sacraments and songs, vestments, crosses and candles, let there be a particular form. You want to be sure that the bones of liturgy, the sinews of tradition, the nerves of theology, and the flesh of the Christian year calendar all weave together that body or hour of worship. And you say, let worship be one unified, organized, and pleasing sight to the eyes and sounds to the ears. Form matters, you say. By Reformed tradition, we tend to gravitate toward form and formality. But where is the Spirit in it all? Tonight, I learn again from Scripture that if there is no breath, no spirit, in the form and formality we seek in worship, then we are still left with a corpse. Beware of formalism. On the other hand, you won't get off the hook. Also, beware of spiritualism. Some of us here, I imagine, may easily gravitate toward enthusiastic, emotional, vibrant worship. You're weary of formality and formal worship, and you want to give your emotions full sway and full expression in the presence of God. You have no use for the frozen chosen in the pews. You want an hour of worship with heated hallelujahs and praise the Lord, filling that sanctuary. Ah, then we have worshiped, you say. Away with form and formality. Let the Spirit blow in, you say. And I say, beware of spiritualism. You see, beware of emphasizing the one and denigrating or dismissing the other. This week at IWS, pay attention to both. Christians, you see, of all stripes need to pay attention to form and spirit. After all, spirit without form or body is nothing more but a spook. And form or body without spirit is nothing more but a corpse. And thus you have my caution. Here is my encouragement or affirmation. The weariness and ministry strife, the cacophony of voices that make up the noise in our head and heart and soul, these are part and parcel of the daily battles we are called to fight. We are called to fight them, first of all, as followers of Christ Jesus, and in many of our cases, as worship leaders. When the Spirit of God makes us alive, He gathers us into a vast army. We are soldiers of the cross. Therefore, stand firm and fight the good fight of faith. The Apostle Paul extends the metaphor of an army in his letter to the church of Ephesus when he talks about the armor of God and when he tells us to stand and to stand firm. Battle fatigue and weariness, however, are features we should expect. And we need to recognize them as such and deal with them. Let's get real. The church is a messy place. Wholesome relationships in the church, in our homes, in our circles of friends and family, in our neighborhoods, require hard work and emotional energy. And living as committed followers of Jesus Christ in a hostile and volatile world will remain a spiritually taxing task. Battle weariness is to be expected. But thank God for the Pentecostal Holy Spirit. He makes life to abound. Such then is my affirmation or encouragement to you. Here's my reminder. Rest in the Lord. For He will complete His work in us and through us. He will. And once our task is completed here on earth, we shall join the triumphant church and people of God and live with them and with God in our midst on the restored, renewed creation forevermore. In Ephesians chapter 2, as we could hear tonight, Paul tells us that we are under construction. God is hammering us, shaping us, molding us by His Word and Spirit, says the text, into a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, in the Lord, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. The Ruach of God has come, and He is hammering and putting us in shape. Painful? Yeah, at times. But He's there, and He will not abandon His people. For those of you who are wondering about my accent, let me tell you that I grew up in the Netherlands, lived there for a good 20 years, and went to a high school that was located near an 1,100-year-old cathedral called the St. Catharina Kerk, in the city of Den Briel. For about 3 years, I rode my bicycle past the cathedral, and all I saw was a horrific, complete mess. The cathedral was surrounded by scaffolds. The roof was barely visible. The churchyard, believe it or not, was dug up, and skulls and bones of people centuries ago were all scattered around the church. You see, the church and its premises were under renovation. It was a mess. But finally, there came the day when the scaffolds were removed. The graveyard had turned into a flowering field, and the building was fully restored. It was a glorious sight. And on that day, the citizenry of the city of Denbrille realized why they had been willing to put up and be patient to put up with the mess and the work of renewal. You and I, we are engaged in worship renewal. The noise that we are hearing and that we will hear this week is all part of Ezekiel's rattling sound. God is raising us up. He calls us to stand and to be strong in the Spirit, not in our own strength, in the Spirit. He is constructing a temple. And once the Lord Jesus comes again, he will remove the scaffolds of history and of our daily affairs and life and all our burdens. And then he will make life to abound forevermore. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.